a song. I haven't sung that before. Absolute delight. It's good to be with you. I'm very indebted to Cardiff because my wife is from Cardiff. And we met in Cardiff. So I'm very indebted. It's really good to be with you. Great joy. Didn't realise you were here. I mistook you for the other Baptist church in Gibraltar. But I understand you're the plant out. And that's really, really great to see this work here as well. I'd like to draw our attention to 2 Samuel, which we had read for us just now. And here David, King David, shows God's kindness. Just a reminder of some of the background and the content. David is now at the height of his powers and influence. He's established as God's chosen king over all of Israel, not just Judah, but all of Israel. And his power is increasing, his influence increasing. Now in chapter 8, you see in chapter 8 the expansion of his rule. He drives out the various tribes and deals with them accordingly, those pagan tribes. You also see his dedication to the Lord. He would take of the plunder in subduing those tribes and not take it to himself covetously, but set it aside for the furtherance of the glory of God and the kingdom of God. He was preparing for the temple, laying aside for that, although he knew he wouldn't make and build the temple. You also see the wisdom of his administration. He was the Lord's anointed. And as the Lord's anointed, he was given that wonderful gift of wisdom. And you see that in that he was delegating. Leaders should learn to delegate. And towards the end of chapter 8, you see him bringing his own sons into his administration, training them. It's good to train young men. I can see you doing that in this church as well. So this is David. And now God has really brought to pass the word that had been said to David from his early years, really, that he would be the Lord's anointed and that he would subdue all those around the children of Israel and that God would make his name great. Chapter 7, verse 9, the Lord speaking to David, I've been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like a name of the great men who are on the earth. And he had a great name, and certainly growing in its greatness. So here he is. You'd think now at this point, under such great blessing, that he might begin to rest up a little and just enjoy the fruits of his many years of hardship and labor. But no, he thinks on the things of others. He's the Lord's anointed. The Spirit of Christ is in King David. And the Spirit of Christ Jesus, the true King of Israel, is to think on the things of others. That's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That Spirit's on him, like a mantle. And so we read in verse 1, that he makes an inquiry. David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may know him and show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? He's inquiring. Saul's house, Saul's dynasty had fallen. It was under the judgment of God, you remember, because of his rebellion and his disobedience. God had said he'd take away Saul's rule and kingdom and household, and all would be removed due to his rebellion. And that had more or less come to pass. But David is inquiring, is there anyone left of Saul's household? The reason being, I want to show the kindness of God to them. David then reveals his intent, of course, in saying that. He states that he wants to show God's kind of kindness to anyone left in the house of Saul. The word kindness is hesed. Is that how you say it? It's covenant kindness. It speaks of covenant mercies, loving kindness, those ideas. Is there anyone left that I can show God's kind of love to anyone in the house of Saul? Is there anyone left at all? He's inquiring and he reveals his intent. I want to show them kindness, and he adds, of course, for Jonathan's sake. Now you know the story, I'm sure, that David and Jonathan were brothers and their hearts were knit together. They were as one. And they covenanted one to another to help one another, regardless of the outcome of things. In fact, we know from reading back that Jonathan knew that King David would be king of all Israel and would replace his father. And he was happy for that. Jonathan could have been upset over that, thinking, well, actually, I'm the rightful heir of the kingdom. But no, I know God has given it to you, David. And therefore, I yield to that, to God's will. And they covenanted, and they said that we will help one another regardless of what happens. And we will also, furthermore, in that covenant, we will help one another's children and children's children, or one another's seed, as they put it in the old way. And so that's what he's saying. He's revealing his intent for Jonathan's sake. So he puts it to his entourage, he puts it to all those around him, and they make their inquiry. And they go and they come and they say, now there is a servant of the house of Saul whose name is Ziba. So when they had called him to David, he comes in now, he's coming in for an interview, and David says to him, are you Ziba? And he says, yes,